This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
I would say that all these parties, these seven parties and one coalition that are running on the 24th, they have very similar programs.
That's VOA's Mayra Fernandez in Luanda talking about Angola's elections on Wednesday. Details coming up. Also, Kenya's Raila Odinga has filed a petition at the Supreme Court challenging his loss last week. All these and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Tavern owners in South Africa are asking the government and police for protection after a spate of mass shootings at bars around the country this weekend. In the worst incident, gunmen opened fire on patrons in a tavern in Soweto, south of Johannesburg, on Saturday night, killing 15 people and wounding 9, 3 who are critical. There were also tavern shootings in KwaZulu-Natal province and on the East Rand near Johannesburg, bringing the total number of fatalities so far to 21. The legal team for Kenyan presidential candidate Raila Odinga says it has filed a petition at the Supreme Court challenging the announcement he had lost the election last week. The head of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission declared Deputy President William Ruto the winner of the close August 9th election. Odinga, a longtime opposition leader known as Baba, delivered physical copies of the petition to the court, which has 14 days to rule. The Electoral Commission split over the election, and four of the seven commissioners said they could support the result. The dissenting commissioners and the chairman have traded accusations of misconduct, extending the uncertainty in East Africa's most stable democracy. President Uhuru Kenyatta, who is constitutionally barred from running again, has backed Odinga against his own deputy Ruto. As we just heard, opposition leader Raila Odinga, who has filed a court petition challenging the announcement results of the August 9th election. We have like an attorney later on, James Maumu, who will be talking about the former president of the Kenya Law Society. Somalia's prime minister says the government will hold accountable the militants who attacked a hotel in the capital, Mogadishu. Over the weekend, 21 people were killed and 177 wounded in a 30-hour assault that began Friday evening when Al-Shabaab rebels, armed with bombs and guns, invaded the Hyatt Hotel. The French press agency AFP reports that the police rescued more than 100 people during the siege. The wire service says Prime Minister Hassan Sheikh Mohamud also said anyone in the government who neglected their duty during the assault will also be held accountable. The religion minister in the cabinet, former Al-Shabaab commander Mokhtar Robo, called on the Islamist militants to repent and abandon the group. The United Nations and Somalia's allies, including the United States, Britain, the European Union, and Turkey, condemned the attack. The legal team for Kenyan presidential candidate Raila Odinga says it has filed a petition at the Supreme Court challenging the announcement he had lost the election loss last week. The head of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission declared Deputy President William Ruto the winner of the close August 9th election. Odinga, a longtime opposition leader known as Baba, delivered physical copies of the petition to the court, which has 14 days to rule. Reagan Pandaman was among the hundreds of Odinga supporters cheering today at the news the petition had been filed.
Under this petition that is going on, what we expect here is that Raila Amolo Odinga to be announced as the President of Republic of Kenya. Reason being, the way the elections were being conducted is null. Yeah. We cannot accept that. And we want justice. We want our right because they cannot keep harassing Baba.
Yeah.
He's the father of this nation.
Yeah.
He's the one that will empower the youth.
The Electoral Commission split over the election, and four of the seven commissioners say they couldn't support the result. The dissenting commissioners and the chairman have traded accusations of misconduct, extending the uncertainty in East Africa's most stable democracy. President Uhuru Kenyatta, who is constitutionally barred from running again, has backed Odinga against his own deputy Ruto. As we just heard, opposition leader Raila Odinga has filed court petition challenging the announcement results on the August 9th election. To learn more about the process of challenging election and what it means for Kenya, VOA's Peter Kloti spoke with attorney James Muwamu, the former president of the Kenya Law Society.
The law is that once a petition has been filed, Ruto now ceases to be president-elect. Everything is at a standstill, and now that gives Uhuru to be still the president in charge of the country. Now, the people who have been sued, like the IBC, William Ruto, and his running mate Rigathi Gachagua, have 3 days to file a response. Within those 3 days, they are supposed to file their response and serve the petition as advocate. Thereafter, the court will fix a day for mention, and then they will have 4 days to hear the petition.
So, James, what is the time frame that you think the Supreme Court would have to adjudicate this matter or this petition?
Now, the respondents are going to be filed today electronically and going to be served. The papers that have been filed by the Azimio group. Thereafter, they will have 3 days to respond. Now, after they have filed and served their papers within the 3 days, the Supreme Court will then fix a date for hearing of this matter. They have up to 29, because the elections were declared on the 15th. So they have up to 29 to deliver the judgment on this matter. So in between here, I'm sure that the Supreme Court will give it some time and then also a few days also to sit back and write the ruling.
James, as a lawyer, take me through how the Supreme Court will look at this.
The Elections Act and the Constitution states that, one, they can either decide to affirm the presidency of William Ruto, that is number one, by dismissing the petition. Two, they can decide to order nullify the election and order that first presidential election to be held by the IBC within a certain period that was going to be fixed. They can also recount the vote. If they find that the winner was Raila Odinga, he can then be declared the president. So those are the three choices the Supreme Court has if they were, after hearing this petition, they are satisfied that there were errors.
Now, James, do you anticipate a little bit of rising tension as the Supreme Court takes this matter up?
You know, this is the third petition under the new constitution that we have seen since 2013. There was a petition in 2013. We usually call it Raila 1. There was a petition in 2017, we usually call it Raila 2. But this time, I think there are other petitioners. We have about, I think there are about three petitions that have been filed. So I do not see sparking of violence or any tension. Sometimes filing of a petition is like a catharsis. It brings in some form of calm. And I think after the Supreme Court has gone through it, and deliver the judgment, that will also depend on the protagonist. If at the end of the day, you know, after the Supreme Court has delivered the judgment, they say, let the peace be calm, they accept the result of the constitution, of the Supreme Court judgment, then they will be calm. But if there will be some calling for some other actions by the protagonist, And that will obviously cause tension in the country.
It appears expectations are high and all eyes are on the Supreme Court from today moving forward, correct?
Yes, yes. The expectations are very high. And we will ask them to do the right thing for the people of Kenya. If they're going to deliver judgment, that judgment will be a sound judgment. We also expect that that judgment will be read openly to the people of Kenya. You know, in 2013, what may have caused problems was that the judges dismissed the petition and did not read the judgment. They said they will read the judgment in 15 days. If you have analyzed the issue, it is the Constitution allows you to read the entire judgment. It helps the people. The people are the ones who voted. And so it also depends on how the Supreme Court will handle the whole thing. But I have trust that they will handle it in a manner that befits what is expected from a Supreme Court like the one of the Republic of Kenya.
That was Attorney James Muwamu, the former president of the Kenya Law Society. He was speaking with my colleague Peter Cloti by phone from Nairobi. As the fiercely competitive electoral contest heats up in Angola, the leading candidates, UNITA's João Lourenço, the incumbent, and his opponent, MPLA's Alberto Costa Jr., have galvanized thousands in their rallies. Incumbent Lourenço held his last big rally on Saturday, and challenger Costa Jr.'s final rally was today. VOA's Portuguese to Africa reporter Mayra Fernandes attended both events and talked to me straight from Luanda.
Thank you for having me. Yes, on Saturday the 20th, MPLA closed the campaign with a big rally in the outskirts of Luanda. And it was thousands and thousands of people attending the rally. And the president, the incumbent, Mr. João Lourenço, had a message for his voters that was really, really focused on health, employment.
So this electoral contest in Angola is fairly competitive. MPLA leader João Lourenço, like you said, is concentrating on the economy because I think Angolans are yearning for a better government.
He mentioned something very important for Angolans, as you know. Angola's economy depends a lot on oil, and Angola, even though has oil, doesn't really refine it. So Angola has to actually buy the oil back to be used then for energy, for gas, etc., etc. So he mentioned several projects that they are working on, and he promises are going to be concluded if he gets the re-election, so Angolans can live a better life. The rate of unemployment is really high in Angola, and especially among the youth. So there was also this message for the youth that they can, Lourenço, they can pay. That is going to bring jobs, is going to bring more opportunities for the youth.
That was on Saturday. You were at the MPLA, and that was João Lourenço's vision for Angola if he gets elected. Now you are at the UNITA rally.
I am.
Today, right now as we speak, UNITA, led by Adalberto Costa Jr., drawing massive crowds and young people. Give us a taste of what's happening now at the rally of UNITA.
It's a pity that you don't understand and our listeners don't understand Portuguese, because they could have that sense right now. I'm right in front of a group of young men that are yelling, MPLA out, it's time for MPLA to go, to leave the power. And yes, it's thousands and thousands of people right outside of Luanda.
What is the platform for UNITA? Is it also the economy?
It is jobs. It is reducing poverty, more equality, more education, more health. I would say that all these parties, these seven parties and one coalition that are running on the 24th, they have very similar programs, honestly. It's kind of a feel that Angola is lacking everything and so much, and all of them are really focused almost on the same. But UNITA also says it's time for change. You know, and that's what they are running on now. The time is now, and it's time for change. That's what they are asking their voters. They give them a chance to change and to show another type of governance. Because at the end of the day, we have to remember that MPLA has been in power for 47 years. And during this time, a lot of voters that we spoke to, they complain about the same. For them, it feels that nothing has changed in every election period.
That was VOA's Portuguese to Africa reporter, Mayra Fernandes. She talked to me from Angola's capital, Luanda. Algerian police say that the toll from last week's wildfires has increased to 43 deaths, up from 38, with the number expected to rise. The French press agency AFP says the police, which operate under the defense ministry, are still working to identify bodies. 13 people have been arrested on suspicion of arson. The government says 31 fires were put out across the country over the weekend. Most occurred in 14 administrative councils in the north, especially in the El Tarf region near Tunisia. The blazes led to the evacuation of more than 1,000 families from the areas affected. Last year, 90 people died as fires destroyed over 100,000 hectares of forest and farmland. Authorities in Cameroon have sealed at least 30 gold mines, including some owned by Chinese, after at least 33 young miners died in landslides this month and scores more were declared missing. Officials said Monday that they are also concerned about working conditions that have caused deaths within the seasonal gold mine community. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Kambele district in Cameroon's border with the Central African Republic.
A heavy downpour on Monday kept businesses closed in Kambele, a village in Baturi district on Cameroon's eastern border with the Central African Republic. But 70-year-old gold miner Vidal Dula says he braved the rains to meet with officials of local mining company Invest Baturi. He was asking for help in burying his 27-year-old son Vincent Dula, who died at the mining site on Saturday. Vidal Dula says Vincent was trapped in a hole where he and 20 miners searched for gold. He says friends dug at the collapsed portion of the gold mine and recovered Vincent's body. Vidal says the death was a huge loss for his family, as Vincent was his only son. The company has not responded. Cameroon says Kambele is home to several thousand Cameroonians, Chadian, and Central African Republic civilians, either working or looking for jobs in gold mines. On Monday, Jada Yakuba, the highest-ranking government official in Baturi, said he deployed several hundred government troops to seal at least 30 gold mines in Kambele. Yakuba said the facilities defied a July 2022 government ban on mining activities. He said the troops and humanitarian workers searched for missing miners and recovered corpses buried at collapsed sites. The Central African States government officials say at least 33 miners, a majority of them school children on holiday, have died in Kambele within the past month. The government says about 10 children, ages 9 to 13, were among the dead. The government did not say if the dead or missing miners were Cameroonians or included displaced persons fleeing conflicts in neighboring CAR. Lambert Esonu is an environmentalist with Save Cameroon, a non-governmental organization on Cameroon's eastern border with the CAR.
Le risque est extrêmement élevé et de temps en temps ce risque se produit.
Esonu says this year's heavy rains have increased the number of miners trapped in sites on Cameroon's eastern border with CAR. He says many more deaths may be recorded if miners continue to defy the ban. Therefore, he says the governments of Cameroon should make sure that all mining companies build trenches and retaining walls to protect miners from landslides. Esono says the government should punish mining firms that recruit and keep poor children out of school. Under Cameroonian law, children under the age of 14 aren't allowed to work. Esono said poverty pushes parents to send their children to work in mining sites where they are paid $3 after 24 hours of work. Richard Lambo, spokesperson for Cambele's mining firms, says the ban on mining activities should be lifted or else the companies, many of them owned by the Chinese, may leave.
Il y avait les Coréens, et ces Coréens sont partis. Maintenant, la grande partie des exploitants.
Lambo says Korean mining firms left in 2014 when the Cameroon government temporarily sealed mining sites with claims that miners used child labor. He says people who died within the past 1 month were searching for remains of gold in places mining companies had left. He says it is a duty of the government to stop illegal mining. The government has not said when the ban will be lifted. Mining firms say that if they leave, roads that they are building or renovating will be abandoned. Miners say the construction of schools, markets, and parks, which is part of the company's social responsibility, has been halted. Cameroon says it will make sure their needs of the population are taken care of and that their children have education and health facilities. Cameroon says more 400 mining sites are operating on its eastern border, but that a majority of them are illegal. The government says it will punish mining companies operating illegally or recruiting children. Cameroon is a signatory to the worst forms of child labor convention adopted by the International Labor Organization on June 17, 1999. A 2011 Cameroonian law states that people involved in child labor could face 15 to 20 years in prison and fines of up to $20,000. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Kambele, Eastern Cameroon.
A convent in Nigeria said today that four Catholic nuns were abducted on a highway in Nigeria's oil-producing Imo State in southeast. The nuns were on their way to church to attend Mass. The Sisters of Jesus the Savior said the nuns were kidnapped on Sunday in the Okogwe Umolo area in Nigeria. Kidnapping for ransom has become a constant threat in many parts of the country, and members of religious groups at times have been targeted. In the northwest, Nigeria's military has started an air offensive to eliminate the armed groups responsible for kidnapping citizens from villages and towns in the region. Mali has appointed a new prime minister to replace ailing leader Chokogol Kokola Maiga, who has been hospitalized. The new prime minister is Colonel Abdoulaye Maiga, who is the government's spokesman and minister of territorial administration and decentralization. The French press agency AFP says the colonel is known for his strong public statements against France, who he has told to abandon, in his words, its neo-colonial and condescending attitude. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Dan Brown, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.